Welcome to the Do Zone, where entrepreneurs go to get things done. I'm your host, Josh Thomas. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. Each week, I bring on experts from a variety of backgrounds to share their secrets on how to optimize performance so you can take massive action and crush your goals. The Do Zone is sponsored by Fast Track Funnels, the new way to bring in consistent daily sales for your business in 2025 without cold outreach or burning cash on ads. We use this method with a brand new business to generate more than $100,000 cash collected in less than 30 days. You can download the free step-by-step blueprint that shows exactly how we did that at getconversions.net. Once again, that's getconversions.net. Today's guest is Russ Ruffino. He is the founder and CEO of Clients on Demand, helping coaches, consultants, thought leaders, and service pros attract the right clients at the right price anytime they want. Russ, welcome to the Do Zone. Tell us something you believe is the key to getting stuff done that most people wouldn't think of.
So I think when it comes to productivity, most people think that it's all about getting more stuff done, right? Like you allow these things to just pile up on your to-do list. And then you go and you find a podcast like this one because you're like, oh God, like what do I do to get this stuff off my to-do list? Like it's totally crowded and buried. What I've found is that there's really two kinds of tasks that are the things that are the must-dos, and everything else, for the most part, can be either eliminated or delegated or just like reduced dramatically, right? So the first kind is anything that sharpens the saw, right? You need activities that increase your capacity, whether that's working out or meditating. I like to do sauna, cold plunge. I meditate. I do gratitude, that kind of thing, because those are the things that recharge you, right? And most successful entrepreneurs have some form where they've kind of carved out the time for that, right? It's really the second thing that I think most people kind of go astray on. And that's those big, scary moves that can really move the ball forward. And they're so scary and they're so terrifying that we procrastinate on them and we just allow other little nonsense to fill our to-do list. And then we get those irrelevant things done and we feel like we had such a productive day. Like, oh dude, I cleaned my room today. I reorganized my sock drawer. Oh man, I deleted a bunch of emails. Like,
get
oh,
out
dude.
Of my head, Russ.
Right, super productive
Stop
day.
Stop spying on me.
Right, but it's like there's always rattling around in the back of your head a few really simple things you could do that could be an absolute game changer for your business, right? So that could be rolling out a high ticket offer, which is what we teach our clients to do. Building a funnel to sell that high ticket offer. You know, it could be running a webinar to your list where you're pitching them something for $5,000, $8,000, $10,000. Like those are those big kind of terrifying things that can really move the ball forward. And what most of those things have in common is the possibility of rejection. And that's why we put them off. We don't want to hear people say no. We don't want to hear people say you suck. We don't want to hear people say, oh, this is too much money. We don't want to hear any of that stuff. And so we put these things off. But if you can train yourself every day to wake up and ask yourself, okay, what are the big scary moves that I could make today that could really move the ball forward in a huge way? Peter Thiel asked the question, how can I get my 10-year goals done in 6 months? Like expanding your thinking in terms of what are those huge moves that you can make, and then blocking out 2 to 4 hours a day just working on those things. That's really the secret and the key to productivity. And it's the thing that everyone is too afraid to do. So we just spend time rearranging our to-do list and we don't really move the ball forward.
So here's something interesting about what you just said. And I'm glad you answered it, because that was going to be my follow-up question. Is like, well, why do you think people don't make these big scary moves? It's because they gotta guard the bag. It's conservation of resources. Like, well, what if it fails? Then I'm going to lose this stuff. And then the idea here is, well, if we can break it down into, I want to take this action now, I'm minimizing my risk in that situation. If I'm taking a step towards that big scary thing, but it's a manageable step, then I got a lesser chance of losing my bag.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the key to dealing with that is to ask yourself, what is the worst case scenario? And to really define what that is. Because most of the time when we're experiencing fear, that fear is kind of nebulous. Like, oh God, I want to do a webinar, but I'm scared. Oh God, I want to make this 10K offer on my list, but I'm scared, right?
Yeah.
The key to doing it is to say, okay, fine. Well, what is the worst case scenario? Like, literally, what is the worst thing that could possibly happen if I did this? And most of the time, it's not that bad. And if it did happen, then you can ask yourself this. Well, okay, fine. If that terrible thing did happen, what could I do to get things back under control, even if kind of just temporarily, right? So a million years ago, when I was bartending and I was thinking about quitting my bartending job to start my online business, right? I thought to myself, okay, what is the worst case scenario? Because I was so terrified to do it, Josh. And I thought, but I sat down, I gamed it out. All right, look, let's say I quit my bartending job. I go to start this online business. It crashes and burns. Then what? Well, I wouldn't have any money coming in. I probably wouldn't be able to pay my rent. Okay, fine. And then what? What could I do to get things back on track? Well, I could probably take out some credit cards because my credit's good, and I could probably live off credit cards for a minute. Maybe I could borrow some money from family or friends. And ultimately, I could probably just go get another bartending job. And maybe that would take a couple months, but I would be right back where I was right now.
Yeah.
And when I looked at it from that perspective, I was like, oh man, that's not that bad. So if that's the worst case scenario, then you flip the script. What's the best case scenario? Well, the best case scenario is this changes the course of the rest of my life. Now, look, back then, I couldn't even imagine that I would have what I have today, where we've done $100 million in revenue. That back then, my goal was to make like $100 a day without having to bartend, because I was like,
right.
Oh, dude, if I could make $100 a day, I'd be so rich. You know what I mean? But yeah, dude, once you game it out, you realize that the worst case scenario is not that bad. I'll give you like another great example of this. A lot of people don't know this story, but back in the 70s, Steven Spielberg snuck onto the lot at Universal Studios, and he found an empty office and he just set up shop. He put his name outside the door and just pretended like he was supposed to be there, and nobody noticed. And when people came by, he was like, oh yeah, you know, I'm Steven, I'm a new development guy, blah, 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 blah. And literally just started making all these connections and hanging out with people, right? Now that seems like an insane move, but if you think about it, what's the worst case scenario? They find him, they kick him out.
Yeah.
So what?
That's right.
But now he's Steven Spielberg. And would he be Steven Spielberg if that hadn't happened? I don't think so, because the connections that he made at that studio allowed him to screen the first little movie that he made. And then that led to all these other projects with the connections that he made by doing that. But think about like the balls that it took to do that. That's what I mean when I say those big, scary moves where you're putting it all on the line. But the thing is that fear is an illusion, because once you game out what is the actual worst case scenario, 9 times out of 10, it's usually not that bad. And there's probably a million things you could do to get things back on track, even if the worst case scenario happened.
And first of all, that's 100% correct. And what it brings up for me is a couple of thoughts. One thing that I like to talk about when it comes to fear is fear will have you withdraw. I gotta protect the bag. I gotta find a defensive position. But eventually, if you keep following that path, you're gonna hit the wall, and then there's nowhere else to go. And now you're out. Now you have no room. But if you swing the bat, you know, you might hit something, but maybe you miss and you whiff and you expended some energy and you fail or whatever, but you're not getting out of that cave unless you start swinging. And there's no better time to start swinging than when you have additional room, additional space, and that sort of thing. And so it's like, if we were to rewire our brains to really understand that this fear is designed to protect us, like instinctually survival, that's why it's there, but that there's probably no more saber-toothed tigers that are on the prowl to kill us humans, we'll probably be okay, then we're going to be all right taking steps out of there. Even if we fail, you're still going to be able to get back up. If you can bet on yourself that you're always going to figure it out, you're probably not going to die and it'll be okay.
Right. Yeah. And you can kind of like, you know, remind yourself of that, because, you know, Elon Musk said failure is irrelevant unless it's catastrophic, right? And this is a guy who's blowing up rockets. So his definition of catastrophic, like to me, launching a 500-foot rocket in the air and watching it explode, to me, that's catastrophic, right? Not to him.
Yeah.
What he means by catastrophic is like, oh, I can't walk anymore. Oh, my company goes bankrupt. Oh, I go out of business. Like, that's a catastrophic failure. Unless that's what you're looking down the barrel of, the failure is really just irrelevant. Because you know what, man? You only have to get it right once.
That's right.
You can start 10 different businesses. Only one of them has to be a massive success. Now, I got lucky. The first business I started happened to crush it. But if it didn't, I would have started another one and another one and another one until I figured it out, you know?
And that leads really nicely into, you know, talking about what you do with clients on demand, because building high ticket offers involves quite a bit of failure up front, because we can't possibly predict what the market wants. We can just make an educated guess, and then we have to put it out there and let them tell us. So could you start talking to me a little bit about that process and how this, you know, overcoming the fear of failure, because we really need to embrace it in order to get to that success.
So we started doing this in 2013, right? So it's been like 12 years now. We've had 6,000 clients in every niche and every market you can imagine. So chances are, if you come to us with something, it's something that we've seen before, not just once, but many times. So like occasionally we'll have a client who comes to us with like a weird offer that like oh, I don't know about that one. I'll give you one example, man. We had this client, Brian, who had a handstand offer. He wanted to coach people how to do handstands, and he was selling like I think $97 courses on Instagram or whatever. And he came and he joined our program and he said, "Look, I want to have a high ticket offer about doing handstands." Now, right away, as soon as he enrolled, I pulled him on Zoom and I said, "Listen, man, I got to just level with you. Like, this is not something that like we
No
do
guarantees,
all
no
the
money
time."
back.
Yeah. I was like, this is not, you know, something we've seen 50 times before. I honestly don't know if this is going to work or if it's not. So most of the time when people come to us, it's like we've had four or five other clients that are in a very similar market. So it's like we can say with a lot of confidence, like, hey, this is going to work. But with him, I was like, dude, we never had somebody do a $7,000 or $8,000 handstand coaching program before. And I said, look, man, if you want your money back, you want to just call it quits, that's totally fine. Or if you want to go for it, you know, let's go for it. And he said, yeah, man, let's go for it. And he ended up absolutely crushing it with that high ticket handstand offer. Like, I can't tell you legally like how much money he made, but the guy absolutely crushed it with that offer. So what's cool is like we have enough experience to understand the positioning of these high ticket offers and a really good sense of sort of what's going to work and what's not going to work. And that experience is just invaluable because it isn't just like what is the outcome that you're providing? It's also how are you positioning that outcome and how are you establishing yourself, not just as an authority, but as the authority that they need to work with, where they're watching your webinars, they're watching your ads, and they're like, oh my God, Josh, you're the guy. You're the guy that I need to work with. And then they go and invest 5 or 8 or 10K to work with you. So if you think about what we're doing, man, what we're doing is damn hard. We're working with legit experts. We're helping them put together high ticket coaching programs that they sell for 5 or 8 or 10 or $15,000. But the client attraction process is basically like they're clicking an ad, they're opting in, they're watching a video or a webinar, they're getting on the phone with you, and they're enrolling in your high ticket offers. And that whole process takes about 24 hours. So literally, you're taking people from never having heard of you to investing 5 or 8 or 10K to work with you in a 24 to 48 hour time period. So it's like, if you're going to do that, every little detail of this thing has to be just right. And when it is, it's like a beautiful thing. So a big part of the work that we have to do, though, just to go back to your point, is helping people get past their fear. Because what if you say, hey man, yeah, that'll be $5,000, and they say no? You know, what if you run your Facebook ads and someone, I don't know, leaves a snarky comment on your Facebook ads? Or what if someone joins your program and then they turn around and they want a refund? If you're going to be a business owner, I'll tell you right now, there's a 100% chance that all of those things are going to happen. 100%. But you know, if you can release the meaning you're attaching to those things and the fear that you have around it, then you can begin to build an amazing business.
Yeah, and it's all about that balance of reducing risk, but you're never going to eliminate it, because if you want to eliminate risk, you know, go get a job as a bartender or whatever, and, you know, live a nice, safe, comfortable, you know, life in the cave.
Having lived in that world, though, I mean, I can tell you right now that it's far more of a risk to put your financial future in someone else's hands,
That's right.
right? Like when I was bartending, I mean, honestly, like I was not a good bartender, okay? I was in LA. I wanted to be an actor. That was my dream. And when you want to be doing something else and you're doing this, you know what I mean? Like you're not going to do a good job. So I was a bartender for 10 years. Honestly, I was not a good bartender. I had a shitty attitude. Every day I went into work wondering, like, is this the day that I'm finally going to be fired? Honestly. And I remember that when I did quit and I did start my online business, I felt this like surge of just power because now if I was going to fail, or if I was going to succeed, it was going to be because of me. It's
That's
not
right.
like I would go into work and, my boss would be having a bad day or like whatever. I mean, like, dude, look at what's happening with Doge right now. Like, the most secure job you can get is a job working for the federal government. And all these people are getting fired now. Do you know what I
That's right.
mean? So it's like, it seems like starting a business is the risky thing to do, but at least you're not putting your fate in someone else's hands. It's
Yeah.
between you and the market. And if you're giving the market what it wants, you're gonna do okay,
Yeah.
But otherwise you have to go to work and maybe your boss is having a bad day that day. Or, maybe, you're some handsome dude or some beautiful woman and your boss has a crush on you. And now you're in this weird situation where you feel like you gotta, like, you know what I mean? Like, play the game with them or whatever. Like, all that stuff is just stuff that I never, ever, ever want to deal with again. And I think having a business is less risky in a lot of ways than saying you're gonna get a job and you're gonna keep that job forever.
Yeah, having the job is a risk. It's just a slightly less direct risk. Having a business is a direct risk, but at least the risk is known and you have some control over it. So tell us really quickly, where can we go to learn more about your company and who's a great fit?
Yeah. So we work with anybody who solves a major life or business challenge. So that's you, experts, authors, coaches, speakers, doctors, therapists. If you help your clients overcome a major challenge, like in their health, in their wealth, in their relationships, or in their personal development, then we can help you take your expertise and turn it into a high ticket offer and help you put together all the marketing and all the sales and everything that you need to enroll people into that offer consistently. So if you want to learn more about what that looks like, go to clientsondemand.com/discover. That's clientsondemand.com/discover. And check out our masterclass where I walk you through this model and what it looks like and what it could look like for you.
Excellent. We're going to wrap from here. Thanks so much to our guest, Russ Ruffino, for joining us and sharing a little bit of wisdom about how he gets stuff done. You can learn more about his program by going to clientsondemand.com/discover. Whether you're on your morning commute in the gym or somewhere out in the field, snap a selfie, tag me at JT Literally. Show me what you do while you're in the do zone. And one more time, if you want daily sales and a full calendar of prospects who want what you have, download the Fast Track Funnels Blueprint for free at getconversions.com. .net. That's it. Let's get to work.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Do Zone podcast. If you're running a service-based business that's looking to grow this year, let's talk about how we can slingshot you into momentum with a quick injection of cash and sales. Our clients typically see results in as little as 7 days. To learn more about what we do, you could go to factorone.io. Once again, that's factorone.io. We'll see you next time.